Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. 37, make that 38 plus years now of being often imitated but hardly duplicated. That's right, knocking out all bums straight up. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the longest running fight show in history. Of course, we are just on the, wow, what can I say, last night. If you were into action and drama, that fight last night between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder that went 11 rounds or went into the 11th round, was that all that and more. I mean, it wasn't a great display of heavyweight skills. It wasn't Muhammad Ali. It wasn't Vladimir Klitschko. It wasn't Joe Louis even. It was just two guys, rock'em sock'em robots for the most part. It ended in round 11. Both guys were down. We'll talk about that in depth. We'll hear from Tyson Fury. We're bringing the retired HBO godfather Larry Merchant. We'll go across the pond and bring in Sir Kenneth Rainford from the UK in hour number two. Straight up, we got it all going on today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines all around the planet. I do this at the top of each hour. You can join us in part if you'd like. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's the text line here in the studio. Once again, 415-275-1613. What can I say? You couldn't go wrong. If you watched that fight last night, can I say, you were electrified. I was. We'll talk about that in depth and hear from Tyson Fury after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk, Live Worldwide, and WBC TV. Somehow you know there's much more to the trip. What is hip? Tell me. If you think you know. What is hip? If you're really hip, the past in a year will show. You in a hip trip. Maybe hipper than hip.
It's a certain toughness inside of Tyson Fury. Don't ever listen to me. Tyson, I don't want to say he's all that he's just that. But I know him personally. He's lived with in my home, too. And he's stayed with me. And I've trained Latimer. I've had them all together. He is maybe the toughest. Once he settles down on a solid training program, whichever way else, and really gets into it, it's just boxing, with his natural talent and his engaging personality and his physical size, he's going to be a big, big, big factor in boxing. I've said that after Latimer, he's going to be the next dominant heavyweight. But there's one kid in America that no one speaks of, and that's Deontay Wilder. He was on the Olympic team. He lost the big kid. And I've had the fortune of he's came and trained with me before, too. And he's a big kid. He's bigger than Latimer, too. But he's got good speed and power. And I think best talent is still going to be Tyson and Deontay Wilder. Wow! I feel
good. The late Goldfather from the Kronk Gym, Emmanuel Stewart, talking up Tyson Fury and, of course, Deontay Wilder. And, of course, last night they were the main event, no doubt about that. I mean, wow. All you can say is that it wasn't like skill versus skill. It was sort of like man versus man, mano v mano. They went 11 rounds, or they went into the 11th round. Tyson Fury would eventually win, but there were lots of knockdowns involved straight up. Let's bring in the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant himself. Larry was it was like knocked down, dragged down like rock'em sock'em robots there for a while.
Well, I think of it as an epic brawl. You know, it's the heavyweight championship fight of your dreams. And it was entertaining. It was revealing. And you never knew what was going to happen from second to second. And the better man won.
The drama. I don't think I've had that much drama in a fight in a long time. I watch it in a sports bar with sailors and tourists down at the old, right next to the Hungry Eye, or take that back, what used to be the Hungry Eye on North Beach. And it was amazing watching that sports bar atmosphere. It was just unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
People cheering and oohing and aahing.
People going nuts. Non-boxing fans watching the screen going, ah, they were like blown away by it. And some, even the strippers.
Well, those two guys stripped themselves down to their cores. And they gave us a hell of a show.
Okay. You know, being a former boxer, when I saw the different strategy of Deontay Wilder to come out and try to jab to the body, but unfortunately his jabs weren't straight and he was countered this and that, so he sort of had to give that up real quick. And then he got tired real fast, Larry. I mean, Deontay was beyond tired, and I've always questioned his dedication as far as his training is concerned. Mark Breland said he didn't like to do bag work. He didn't like to do long running. He didn't like to do jump and rope. I mean, this and that. These are all fundamentals in conditioning for a boxer.
Well, he did pretty good for a guy who did all that bad stuff or didn't do. He laid it all out. But the man opposite him, Tyson Fury, just is a little too big and a little too savvy, and he just gotta, if I wore a hat, I would tip it to both of them.
Good way to put that. Tip it both to the challenger and the former champion. I mean, the champion and the former champion. Mr. Deontay Wilder, bronze medalist, of course, from 2004. Tyson Fury was very, very emotional post-fight. Let's check this out.
On behalf of boxing fans everywhere, thank you for giving us a trilogy worthy of boxing history. What are you and Deontay made of? Because there was 5 knockdowns, and this fight could have ended at any moment.
Well, like the great John Wayne said, I'm made of pig iron and steel, baby.
Walk me through what got you up twice after you had put him down.
First of all, I'd just like to say thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, I won this fight tonight again. I give him the glory, he gives me the victory. It made me legs strong, I was down a couple of times. I was hurt, Wilder's a strong puncher, and he's a tough man. I was hitting him with some big shots, and my Lord and Savior rose me to my feet tonight to give him the glory.
Is there a level of respect now after sharing the ring for a total of 33 rounds?
You know, it was a great fight tonight. It was worthy of any trilogy in the history of the sport. You know, I'm not going to make any excuses. Wilder's a top fighter. He gave me a real run for my money tonight. And I always said, I'm the best in the world and he's the second best. You know, he's got no love for me, Deontay Wilder. Because you know why? Because I beat him 3 times. And it's like, I'm a sportsman. I went over to him to show some love and respect. And he didn't want to give it back. So that's his problem. I'll pray for him so God will soften his heart. But you know what? I want to thank everybody in this building tonight who came out to show love for my sport, boxing. Thank you to every man, woman and child in the building tonight. Great fight. October 9th, 2021 will go down to history as a great fight, I hope, anyway.
It sure will, and that begs the question, what is next for the Gypsy King? You are the WBC champ.
I'm the WBC champ, Ring Magazine champion and lineal champion. You know what, I've got to say thank you to my trainer, Sugar Hill, because if it wasn't for Sugar, at America's own, Detroit's own, I wouldn't have got through that fight tonight. He told me, he said, get your jab working, big dog, and shoot that right hand down the middle. He said, only the big dogs pull it out late on in fights. And I said, yes, I got you. And I went out and pulled it out of the bag. So big shout out to me dad, me mum, me kids all watching. I know you've had your hearts in your mouth tonight, but don't ever doubt me. When the chips are down, I can always deliver.
Tyson Fury, yeah, when the chips are down, definitely he delivers. Because Godfather, I got to tell you, that when he sort of wobbled and went down that time, when Tyson Fury went down, I said to myself, this is over now. I mean, I said it's over like 4 or 5 different times during that fight. That's what made it so dramatic.
Well, when we get 5 knockdowns in a heavyweight fight, you anticipate all the different scenarios, but I thought Wilder was tired from the middle rounds on.
Yeah.
and it looked like he was just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. But he still has that pop, and even when even late in the fight when he threw that right hand. I mean, I thought that Tyson Fury was trying to pull a William Joppy when Joppy told me, "I'll stand right in front of Trinidad's right hand." When late in the fight, he thought that, you know, maybe that Wilder's punch had a little less on it, but he still rocked him late in the fight. So Wilder, the puncher, was always in it until the end, but at the end of the night, you're right, the best guy won. And now, I guess they're going to talk a fourth fight, right, because the money's there.
I don't know. I think that if they're serious about Wilder, they'll let him take a fight or two against other heavy, elite heavyweights, and see if he can rebuild, and then go after Fury.
Yeah.
If they just come back, it's just showbiz.
Yeah.
How many fights do you need to have to be meaningful?
But
I think three fights is a lot.
Okay. The dark horse in all of this was the mark. Oleg Usyk, that guy from Ukraine, the former cruiserweight champion, was thought to be a mark when he was brought in to fight Anthony Joshua. Of course, he schooled Joshua over 12 rounds. I guess they're gonna dance that one again. But you know, Oleg Usyk, he's in these fights. Whether it's Fury, whether it's Wilder, whether it's Joshua, he's in these fights, and he may be technically the best of the four.
Well, I would say that Fury is almost secretly technical.
Okay.
He knows how to avoid a lot of punches. He knows the game. And there doesn't appear to be snap in his style, but given that he weighs what he weighs, which was almost 280 last night, I believe.
Like 300.
And that he's got a lot of pride, I get a lot of experience. He knows what he's doing in there.
You know, they had Larry Hazard judge in the fight last night. Was it Larry Hazard Jr. or was it Larry Hazard the guy that was on the commissioner during our tenure? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I have a hunch it was our Larry Hazard.
Because, you know, he became the New Jersey State Athletic Commissioner, but I thought he was the greatest, maybe pound for pound, the greatest referees mechanically of all time. And then when Tommy Morrison was getting beat up by Ray Mercer, I ran across the ring that day. I remember that because I had just seen a ring death like 2 months earlier. I ran from my ninth row seat, ran up to the ring and screamed at Larry Harrison, "Larry, stop the fight! Larry, stop the fight!" Larry got up and finally got Tony Perez to stop that fight. But that Morrison, yeah, Larry Hazard, he's just a class act, but he, the best referee ever. Unfortunately, his referee a career was cut short by the fact he wanted to run the New Jersey State Athletic Commission. Am I bubbling?
Well, I guess that's a worthy ambition to have, and it probably paid more money. So I'm not going to take anything away from him. I thought he had the fight about right last night.
Mm-hmm.
When they showed the scorecard. You know, and it looked like Tyson Fury was ahead by a couple of rounds after the 10th round. And the question that meant it was still a winnable fight for Wilder. But Fury took care of that business.
Yeah. Speaking of Larry Hazard, how do you tell the difference between Larry Hazard Jr. and Sr.? Larry Hazard Sr. looks like Stan Laurel, and Larry Hazard Jr. looks like Oliver Hardy. That's the best way I could put it. I mean, it's just they're night and day from difference. So how's the Godmama doing?
Well, we're all up and around, and having some nice weather down here, and I've been taking longer walks up and down a big ramp that goes to the beach, and so forth. So I feel pretty good about how things are going. I'll know more specifically about what ails me and whether there is a way to attack it.
Okay.
In the next couple of weeks,
I may come down to LA next week and ask you to go to lunch, because I'm thinking about going down to see the Rolling Stones.
Good on you.
All the best to you. Kiss the guys.
Where are they performing?
They're playing somewhere in LA. Some stadium.
Okay.
Anyway, much love, sounds Godfather. Like... Say hello to Godmama for me.
Okay, Pedro. Thanks for calling.
Man, I feel so privileged to have him on the show. You don't have no idea, folks. That is a retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, Mr. Hall of Fame himself. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Baby, I got the feeling, baby.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Boxing historian Bill O said to me this morning, was it Ron Lal and George Foreman, all these knockdowns, five knockdowns, of course, heavyweight boxing back in the, well, taking the limelight, I mean, away from the sport of boxing in general. I mean, boxing's sort of like been dreary of late. I mean, the fact that Teofimo Lopez was a much anticipated fight with George Kambosos, of course, battle of the undefeated, didn't happen, not going to happen, evidently, or it's going to happen with Barry Hearn maybe on the zone with a whole lot less money going to the fighters than before, because Triller, this wannabe promotional company, made all kinds of money with Roy Jones and Mike Tyson earlier. Of course, that pay-per-view I won't call it spectacular. People bought it. People are buying stuff. So, you know, somebody said to me last night, you know, this is heavyweight boxing, but yet maybe Jake Paul could outdraw these. No, Jake Paul couldn't outdraw these. Jake Paul is a sideshow attraction. He's a carnival attraction. You got to realize that. I mean, he's not going to be heavyweight champion of the world anytime soon, anytime ever, not in this lifetime, not in the next lifetime. Bottom line is, he is a cartoon character of sorts. He can fight a little bit. He knows the boxing fundamentals. He won the A's and the B's, the 1-2s and that kind of good stuff, and how to hold, and he's in good shape. So, I mean, the bottom line is, I'm not taking away from his ability, considering he isn't really a boxer, okay? So I'll just put it to you like that. But at the end of the day, when you got heavyweights going out there and knocking people down and destroying people like they did last night, of course, Tyson Fury eventually winning in the 11th round, five knockdowns. I mean, whoa, it was just like, I was like, you know, before you knew, before, by one guy goes down. I mean, Wilder goes down. I say to myself, oh, it's all over, it's all over. And he's like, rocks some more. And, oh, it's all over, it's all over. This fight was so dramatic that you kept saying it's all over like 10 different times. I must have said goodbye to the Brits I was with in this club, you know, watching this with the strippers, watching this fight, the Condor Club in the city, by the way. Anyway, I must have told these Brits like goodbye three or four different times because I wanted to get the hell out of here. I mean, that's not my cup of tea. Anyway, but the bottom line is, I was looking this book out and getting my car that I conveniently parked less than a block away. This is San Francisco. If you can get a parking space a block away, you're on the job. Anyway, the bottom line was, I thought I was out of that place three or four different times. It went into the 11th round. I could have never imagined it going into the 11th round. It was just like, no. Like, after the third round, I couldn't imagine going past four or five. Then after six, I couldn't imagine going past seven. And every round, I kept waiting for the fight to end because, for the most part, like Larry said, Deontay Wilder was showing this incredible, a little bit like heart, but he was showing fatigue. He was showing that he was gassed. When he came out and he tried to box in that first round and he tried to flick out a jab, it wasn't a jab. It was sort of like he sort of like was throwing punches out there, and he wasn't sticking a jab. It wasn't a stick. It wasn't a stick. And he was throwing it to the body, and yay, they're going, oh, this is a new strategy for Deontay Wilder, the team on TV, Andre Ward and crew, of course. This is a new strategy for Deontay Wilder. Go to the body of Deontay. Much easier to hit the body, all that kind of stuff. No. Yeah, that went on for about – about 2.5 minutes. And then once the big fat gypsy king, and yeah, I thought he was fat. I don't think he was in great shape of his life last night. I think this long layoff cost both guys as far as time on their body clocks and time on their boxing clocks. But the gypsy king, you know, he came to fight. He definitely hurt Wilder in that early on. I said to myself, you know, this fight's going to be all over. And then he comes back and then he gets hurt himself. And this punch that he took on the top of the head, most guys don't get hurt with punches on the top of the head, but that's how hard Deontay Wilder hits. You know, I can't dismiss the punching power of Deontay Wilder, because when Tyson Fury tried to pull a William Joppy versus Felix Trinidad, when Joppy told me, I'm going to stand right in front of Trinidad, I don't care what he's got. That right hand, he's a welterweight. He can't hurt me. Well, you know, Tyson Fury stood in front of Deontay Wilder late in the fight last night in the latter rounds of the fight and stood in front of him, and he got hurt. I mean, even when Wilder was tired and like, I just gasped because, you know, you can't really condition these guys. He's a slugger. He's a street fighter. It's hard to condition a street fighter. It just is. I mean, Ricardo Mayorga, think about guys like that. That's sort of like Deontay Wilder, but in the heavyweight mold. And often on this show, I've talked about the fact that, you know, you can't make, you can't make Stradivarius on the violin by giving him the violin at the age of 18, expecting him to be like, you know, ready to play in an opera by the age of 22 or 23. It ain't going to happen. But in heavyweight boxing, because heavyweight boxing is heavyweight boxing, you know, things happen. In fact, I know a guy, I won't mention his name because he's sort of made me listen to the show every now and then, but he was out of California and he only had about 9 fights and he won the United States Amateur Golden Glove Championship as a heavyweight, as a super heavyweight. And I said to myself, you know, he's not that good. And I watch him in the gym. So what's going on here? Well, the fact was, as you get up in weight, sometimes the heavyweights don't have the talent level that you would expect that they would have at the upper echelon. Last night, it wasn't about talent. It was about heart and drive. And, you know, I've dogged Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber. And I'm not calling him the bronze bomber. I'll call him that. Give him his props. I've dogged him on this show. I think he's a bad sport. I think he showed poor sportsmanship last night. You heard the Tyson Fury talk about the fact he didn't want to shake his hand. He didn't want to acknowledge the fact he got beat. The fact he got beat. You know, Malik Scott, the Greg Louganis turned boxer, the Greg Louganis diver. Remember they thought he took a dive? Socrates thought he took a dive against Deontay Wilder, a one-round fight in Puerto Rico, I believe, a few years back. Anyway, but the bottom line is Malik Scott tried to incorporate some different fundamentals into Deontay Wilder. But once you've got flaws built into your system as a fighter, and Eddie Futch told me this, that once flaws are inherent, they're almost inherent, you cannot break a fighter from flaws. It's super hard to break them from flaws because when the spit hits the fan, when I'm talking spit here, I'm talking spit with an H, when the spit hits the fan, they go back to what they did before. They can't stay trained. They don't stay focused. They don't stay on track. Last night, Tyson Fury lost his concentration. I thought he was in total control of the fight. He just lost his concentration. Pulled that William Joppy move. You don't want to take a right hand from Deontay Wilder. I don't think you want to take it at all. The guy can punch with the right hand. He can't do anything else. He couldn't reach an orgasm with the left hand, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? But with the right hand, he's got it going on. At the end of the night, still, Tyson Fury was a better fighter, and the better man won, no doubt about it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. I got a bunch of texts to get to. If you want to text me here in the studio, you can. The text number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. That's studio text line. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Little old school Tower of Power to the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.
Do you need to sell your home?
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Soul side of town. Something from the mighty Tower of Power from about a year and a half ago. Check them out. They don't call them albums or CDs anymore. The kids on the block now call them drops. But check it out at towerofpower.com. Speaking of a guy that's never in a drop, never dropping things, we'll talk about our super father, Mr. Socrates Palmer. We've got both him and Sebastian Palmer on the air right at the same time. Bottom line is, champ, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Pedro. How are you?
I'm fine. What was your scorecard last night? What did it look like at 11 rounds after 10 rounds?
You know what? I never really go by points. I would say I had Tyson up 7-3 at the time of the stoppage. I thought that it was a classic. I mean, probably the best heavyweight fight we've had since Riddick Bowe Holyfield. Like that, it was on that level as far as the drama. Not as competitive and as skillfully fought, because I mean, a lot of the stuff that happened, but that's just Fury style, kind of ugly. And it was definitely part of the strategy was to smother Deontay, and that weight factor definitely played a toll. But it was just high drama stuff. From what the fight fans were treated to, it doesn't really get much better than that.
He's a slapper, though. Tyson Fury is a slapper. I noticed that again last night. He slaps. He hits like a girl sometimes.
But remember, the guy's 6'9". That's a hard slap coming down. You know, it's a lot of force. I mean, that's a big boy. That's like when Andre the Giant used to, you know, chop these guys. I mean, that's how it feels. The guy's 6'9", coming down with that velocity. You know, Deontay Wilder, I've never pretended to be a fan or impressed, but this is one of those rare occasions that he gained more out of this loss than any of his wins, because I think a lot of his wins, you know, were against people that he was supposed to do that to, you know. And he showed so much heart inside the ring. You know, he could have mailed it in when he got dropped earlier. And he fought. You know, he fought. He really did. And he kept you at the edge of your seat because of what he was able to do. You know, I think it was around 9. He caught Fury a few seconds before the bell.
Yeah.
You know, it was a real epic fight. My hat goes off to Deontay Wilder inside the ring, outside the ring. He's a little bit of a sore loser. And
I get the sore loser thing, but you know, again, this is a heavy thing for him to accept psychologically, because I explained this big guy factor to you before. I knew a big guy that I won't mention that maybe listens to the show. Anyway, bottom line is he was bigger than everybody else. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And he towered everybody else. But once he got whipped when we were kids, it was over.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Once he got whipped, and he got whipped by a guy that was bigger than him. So once he saw a guy that was bigger than him, things changed. And I keep going back to that Tyson Fury's 3 inches or 2.5 inches bigger than Deontay Wilder. And Deontay, I don't think, has ever fought anybody bigger than him. Now, on the undercard, what's the word? Does Cuba have a heavyweight contender or what?
You know what? It seems that way. I mean, impressive night by Frank Sanchez. He looked really sharp and against another undefeated fighter, Ajabe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really brought out the character in Ajabe. You know, Ajabe at one point, he didn't want to be in there anymore. You know, and I remember about 2 years ago, they had that thing where the guy walked out of the ring when they saw him coming. I was like, oh, that's a cute gimmick, you know, but that didn't happen last night with Mr. Sanchez. He's got game. And you think the logical next fight, maybe him and Luis Ortiz for some bragging rights. I think that would be a great fight. Kind of like the old line against the new line in Cuba. I think this guy's the goods, and I think he's getting better. And he's got a good team with him, with Reynoso.
Okay, what about Mr. Berlanga? All these knockouts in the first round, it went the distance last night?
Boy, I tell you what, there was a lot of crumbs at the table from that humble pie that Berlanga got. I mean, he's very, very fortunate to still be undefeated. He got hands put on, you know, and that's the one thing to say about Argentinian fighters. For the most part, you know, when they come to the States, they give a good, honest effort to win. And Mr. Berlanga is lucky that this guy didn't have more punching power. he's a work in progress. Like I've always said, I'm not going to use the cliche word that he got exposed, because I think he's what he is. You know, he's a guy who's going to make the exciting fights. Obviously, he's got punch and power, but not much else, you know. And as his competition, if it goes any further than that, the hype train is going to be pulling over real soon.
Props to Marcelo Caceres, who drops a 30-3 with a draw and 16 KOs. He had his handful. He got dropped as well. Berlanga's a big puncher, no doubt about that. And, of course, it's always good for a big puncher, a guy that knocks people out early, to get some rounds under his belt. So this could be considered, like you said, a work in progress. So Mr. Berlanga continues. Oh, somebody shot me a quick text here. Pedro, tell the Andre the Giant story. Oh, man, I can't tell. Do you know who Bad News Brown was, the wrestler?
Bald black guy.
Yeah,
Canada.
Right. He was a real deal. I can't remember his name right now, but he was a real deal. He was a judo guy. He was a bronze medalist in the 76 Olympics or something like that. Anyway, he said that one time when he was wrestling Andre the Giant, Andre the Giant spit on him. And when I say spit, I mean with an H.
Yes. He had a moment.
The guy's 7'2" and 450 pounds on top of you. It's not like you got a choice on that matter.
Yeah, that's a big load.
All right, so what do we take away from last night? Your boxing is PhD. What do you take away from last night? If you're a boxing fan, it was a good night for the sport, no doubt about that. Now, is Al Haymon finally going to make his money back on PBS through Deontay Wilder? Did he make enough money in these three fights to sort of like shore up his debts?
I don't know what the final bean count is going to be, but I'm sure that it's going to be a pretty big check. They obviously was documented throughout the week, the trouble of selling tickets. But I think it's a reflection of the time that we're in during this pandemic. It was a good night for boxing. It really was. And it showed people once again that when it's at its zenith, there is no sport like boxing. Like that type of drama, you know, that energy. It was really a great night. Deontay Wilder, he's probably cooked. You know, that's a beating that he took, and he probably won't recover. I don't think he attended the press conference last night, so I don't know what his future plans are. But the heavyweight division is clear, you know, head and shoulders is one guy, you know, and that's Tyson Fury. All due respect to Alexander Usyk, it would be a really tall mountain to climb, because Fury's a good boxer as well, and he's got heart, and what Usyk exposed on Joshua, he won't be able to do that to Fury. At least I don't think so. I think the only thing that beats Tyson Fury at this point in his life is himself. You know, if his mind stays on the path that it's at, he's going to retire undefeated. But if his demons creep back in, that's the only thing that gets him. You know, he's 33 years old, so I think he's got at least 2 or 3 years of dominance left.
Okay, I'm tripping out because you're talking about some guy running out of the ring, and Parker White won the Golden Gloves with me in back in the days, and his name was really Bomani Parker. He was a 1984 Olympic trials champion, okay? So I went down to see him in L.A. fight at the Forum, and I'm expecting big things from him. I think he's lost one fight at this point in time, but we're expecting bigger and better things from him. So in the middle of the fight, like after the second round, he went in between the ropes and he ran out of the ring. And he ran out of the arena. He ran to the hotel across the street. There's never been an explanation on that one.
He just checked out.
Oh my God! So anyway, it was a good night for boxing. Sort of like somebody said to me, was it like Gotti and Ward or something like that? That was a different type of slugfest. Listen, of course, these are heavyweights, and heavyweights bring out the squares, don't they? For the most part, I mean, that's when the squares watch boxing, heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, or any big fight in general. You know, you get the casual fan. I mean, it really wasn't as competitive as Gotti Ward. You know, it's just that the aura of Deontay's power, you know, kept you on the edge of your seat. You know, but I think for the most part, other than the rounds that Fury looked like he was out of it, I think he won all of them. You know, and you can see there was moderate improvement to Deontay Wilder early, but once he got tagged, you know, second nature kicks in, you know, and what he's used to, he's a slugger, you know, and if he gets you, you know, you're going to check out, and if not, you saw what happened, you know, but he showed tremendous heart. You know, it's hard to knock Deontay Wilder this morning.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Our props to him, except he's a poor sport. October 15th, pound for pound, maybe one of the best from Mexico. Of course, Mexico's best fighter outside of Canelo Alvarez, probably. The once beaten Emmanuel Navarrete taking on the once beaten Joette Gonzalez. That's going to be a good match on ESPN+. You know, the app is where it's going on. I have a friend of mine that's a boxing fan. He watches these fights later on YouTube and this and that, but he doesn't get the, I can't watch a fight and know what happened already and feel the drama. Can you?
Not at all. No. I have, on the rare occasion, if there's a function that I can't get out of, I disconnect. I'll put my phone on plane mode, and then I'll wake up early, or I'll watch it later that night on a YouTube stream. But there's nothing like, you know, live in the moment, nothing at all.
USA Tuesday Night Fights, your buddy Johnny Boz used to call me right after the fights were on the west, on the East Coast, obviously on East Coast time, and we 9 o'clock Eastern time, and then 9 o'clock Pacific time, delayed 3 hours, and he would call me and try to ruin every Tuesday night. And when I told him, you're being a what about this, and you're ruining my, he continued, he persisted, he would call from different numbers.
Oh, that's some old school trolling.
May you rest in peace. In fact, I was looking at some Facebook page, and it's been like about 4 or 5 years now that he passed, but he was a character. There's no doubt about that. New York's finest, per se, and I'm not talking about the police department. Now, as far as the heavyweight division is concerned, is Oleg Usyk and Anthony Joshua going to dance again? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, as expected, Anthony Joshua invoked the rematch clause, and as is his right. And, you know, let's see what happens. Is Anthony Joshua, is he this era's Lennox Lewis, in which, you know, Lennox got beat a couple of times and he, you know, went back to the drawing board and changed things up, and he avenged every loss?
No. Lennox Lewis would have beat both those guys in the same night last night. Sorry, I think he would have. I think that Lennox Lewis, you know, he's the most underappreciated champion of probably the past 25 or 30 years.
He is. Yeah, he definitely is. And it's funny because, I don't know, I forget which fight it was. It might have been the second Fury Wilder fight that they brought out Evander, Mike, and him. And out of all three, he got the least love. You know, absolutely. Lennox, underrated Hall of Famer.
Classy guy. They thought he was gay for a while. He ain't gay. Some girl, some hooker told me in Vegas he's a gentleman. Anyway, bottom line is we got to go. Kiss Sebastian. Kiss the old lady. We'll talk soon.
Okay, my brother. Thank you for having me on.
The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD on Ring Talk Live Worldwide via the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
This is my buddy Lenny Williams saying there's only so much oil in the ground when he was the lead singer for Tower of Power. Guess what? Gas in San Francisco was over $5 a gallon. I know in most parts of the country it's like $2.50, $2.70, $2.90, but I'm willing to pay more per gallon, just not $5 a gallon. So you can go outside the city and county of San Francisco, like across the bay, and get it for like $3.77. Like, I'm talking about like $1.50 difference. I kid you not. Anyway, bottom line is, people are getting ripped off, I think, as far as the gas is concerned. So there's only so much oil on the ground with a ripoff. Straight up, want to mention the fact that Tank Davis, of course, I'm talking about Gervonta Davis, of course, the unbeaten lad from Troubled Times, since Troubled Times, and of course, Cincinnati, Ohio as well, I believe. Anyway, of course, he's going to go against Raleigh Romero, who was an undefeated lad. Of course, he roughed up Ryan Garcia in a much publicized sparring session a couple of years ago. Anyway, Rolly Romero undefeated. Not that great of a fighter, but he's a Mayweather fighter. And of course, Mayweather needs to put Gervonta Davis in with somebody he's sure that he can beat because he wants to keep the Gervonta Davis thing going. I think as far as Mayweather's stable is concerned, Gervonta Davis is all he has. He really has nothing else. That's it. So that's why he's putting so much stock into him. That's why he put the money into him. That's why he made sure these legal woes went away. Of course, talking about the car accident, was it late last year, like in July or take that back, November of last year, he got into a car accident in his hometown city. Of course, some people were hurt, things like that. He ran away, hit and run, that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, you know, Al Haymon will get him out of that because of the fact Al Haymon and Floyd Mayweather, they work hand in hand. They'll get him out of that because of the fact that he is their guy, their go-to guy. There's no doubt about it. As Hector says, he's the guy that nobody can beat until they beat. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number one of two, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, we're hoping to hook things up as far as Veev TV is concerned, and that's going to start going down next week as far as the broadcasting is concerned. So straight up, stay tuned for hour number two for upcoming, of course, on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, of course, Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. You can always catch us at sportsbyline.com. Until next time, or until next hour after the racist news, you listen to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. If I miss you, much peace and respect. If not, stay tuned for hour number two. We're ready to rock here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.